I want to talk today about what I call the understanding the prophetic. Let me put it like that, okay? So you can use different expressions, that the dynamics of prophetic operations, prophecies and life, me and the prophecies of the Bible, whichever way you want to put it, all right? But I want to explain the way prophetic things work, all right? And you'll see where I'm going to in a moment. Now, you know we've been studying about the life of Moses. Now, if you're listening to this, maybe on CD or whatever, if you're not present physically, let me explain what happened. And those of us who are here, follow it. We've been talking about the life of Moses, right? Learning from Moses. That's what we called it. And we're learning a lot of things from the life of the person Moses. And last time, the last two times that I spoke on that, I began to speak about the matter of the prophecies, the life of Moses as it had to do with prophecy. Let me just remind us, and for those who were not here, so they can get it. We explained that Moses, if I let's just read the scripture just to connect, the Haggai chapter 12, I'll just read it. Let me quote it for those who don't know. It's verse 13. Hosea chapter 12, sorry, verse 13. It said, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel from Egypt, and by a prophet, he was kept, or he was sustained, or he was preserved. Now, what we learn from that is that Moses was called to be a prophet, but in the early days of his life, he did not understand that. He thought he was just supposed to deliver the people of Israel from captivity. And having that feeling, having that impression inside him, he went about it the way that he knew to do, which was to try and, you know, raise political, how do I say it, uprising. You understand my point? Like they are doing in Syria right now. You understand what I'm saying? Like they did in Egypt, they did in Tunisia. That was a kind of mindset that Moses had. But the Bible makes it clear that that was not what God wanted. So God called Moses to be a prophet, not really an arranger, not an organizer. All right? We discussed that the last two meetings on this subject. I will therefore jump it. But let me just say something before I jump it entirely. The lesson there is this. Something just struck me. Because I've had that argument a lot of times with people. Let me just say it. I will be open. Sometimes Christians come up and they will start telling you about how, as Christians, we should be politically minded. And you know I believe that there are different aspects of life. You understand my point? And that God called us to different aspects. Once I was in a meeting in Lagos, and a man was brought to come and speak. And it's one of those days that, out of anger, I wanted to pick my Bible and walk out. In fact, I was so angry, I wanted to get up and leave. Except that my friend beside me said, "Banky, relax, relax." I just said, "Look, boy, let's go. What kind of nonsense is this?" The man was preaching. Now listen to this. And you have to be careful because Christianity is different from what is normal in life. Now, the man was preaching like this. That Christians are too docile. He raised Ganifar and me up. You understand what I'm saying? And began to tell us, in effect, look at Ganifar and me and be like him. Why? Because we all know Ganifar and me. He was a human rights activist, a political commentator, and what's the other word? Anyway, a critic. You know, he was a fighter, all right? Like Nelson Mandela style. You understand my point? Now, please follow something, and you see the life of Nelson Mandela. I'll bring something out from there. And the man was going on and on, essentially saying that the problem with we Christians is that we just keep quiet. We don't do anything. We don't do anything. How many Christians can rise up and stand in front like Ganifar? And listen, let me tell you something. If you are saying that in a Luther meeting, you know, when Association of National Students and Graduates of Nigeria and those who did not go to school in Nigeria put together one association, you can say that. It doesn't concern me. But when you get into church, be careful what you say. You know why? The operations of the body of Christ, they are very different. That day, when he was going on and on, I was angry. There was a time he said that, listen, one of the reasons why he has to do what he's doing is that he has to show people that he's not begging for money. So that when he comes and talks, they will see that he has been smiling to the banks. That was when it got me angry. I wanted to get up and go away. That, listen, that's one thing that's called the wisdom of God. This is the wisdom of God. You understand my point? That Paul said, as poor, yet we can make many rich. Are you getting my point? Jesus said something about God's wisdom. He was describing John the Baptist. That when you went out into the wilderness, what did you go to see? Did you go to see a man that was well-dressed, wearing gold, wearing fine linen? He said, no, such people, when you want to see them, you go to king's palaces. He said, what did you go to see? A prophet? I tell you, more than a prophet. Because of all men ever born of women, none was as great as John the Baptist. And he said something, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, notice something here. John the Baptist was wearing rags. He was wearing, goat skin. He wasn't feeding fine. Yet, the princes of the land, the Pharisees, the rulers, they will send delegations to go and talk to John the Baptist. The reason why Herod imprisoned him was that his speech could move the whole country against Herod. Did he smile to the banks? Listen, Christianity and this common sense is not the same thing. Common sense is different from Christianity. Listen, once I heard somebody say that we have to move and walk so that Christians will be united. I want to say, sir, it's a waste of time. No political arrangement can bring unity in Christianity. You know what the Bible says brings unity? Maturity. Go and read Ephesians chapter 4. Until we all come, are you getting my point? We come into the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, unto the stature of the measure of Christ. Let me just quote it because of time. All right? That's Ephesians chapter 4. All right? When he said, he gave gifts unto men. These are the things they do. That is, when they bring you up to maturity, unity is automatic. When you see division in the body of Christ, it's not a lack of political arrangement. It's a lack of spiritual maturity. Are you getting my point? Listen, somebody said, my wife quoted it some time ago here, that this is how husband and wife gets closer as Christians. That they get closer to God. That is like a triangle. God is at the top. You, that's angle A, B, C. A is God. B is husband. C is wife. The closer B and C get to A, the closer they are to each other. If you're trying to move towards each other directly, you don't have the energy to do it. What you do is allow God draw you closer to him. Are you getting my point? In effect, you will discover each other in God. Listen. Unity in the body of Christ can never be negotiated on a table. It can only come as a result of individual and collective maturity. So this is how you know churches that are pastored by babies spiritually, or people who are totally stunted. They've been there for a long time, but they're not growing anywhere. When the church opposite here, opposite us, is organizing a program, we quickly do our own so that our members won't go there. Just know that pastor, his breast milk is even dilute. Do you get my point? Listen, let me just explain something to you. You've heard Redeemed Christian Church of God say something, all right? That they want to have a church within every 5 minutes walk or 15 minutes drive. I said, listen, that vision, hear ye the word of the Lord, the way most of them are interpreting it will never come to pass. What are you saying, Pastor Banky? Until you recognize that the next church should be counted. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. The next church should be counted. It is not that, look, you pass a church, you know, is a living church. Your friend is the pastor. You decide that Redeemed Church is not near there yet. You're out of your mind. Leave that one. Go to a place where neither your friend nor a Redeemed Church is. Then you will discover that indeed, this earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. We are using energy to pour something into where other people have already poured water. So we have swamps in some areas and deserts in other places. You are following what I'm saying? Unless you want to tell yourself that we are the only church. If you say, God will have to prove you wrong. Listen, I'm bringing an issue to you here. You find that unity does not come by negotiation. It comes by what? Maturity. So as you mature as a Christian, you learn to do what the Bible calls discerning the body. Please, I hope you know what I'm saying. I hope you get what I'm going to explain. It doesn't make sense now trying to plant a church in South Korea that because you want to count. When between Yonggi Cho and a few of his brothers, they gather like 5 million people. Go and check what Paul, Peter and co. said to Paul. When Paul went and gave a report of what has been happening, they said, go and read that book of Galatians, that we realize that the same God that was strong working with us has been strong working with Paul. Therefore, they blessed Paul and said, go. That is what some of us should do. I said, oh boy, some of you know how to handle that tough northern region. No? We don't have that grace. But we have 10 million naira. Take. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You find that there are some areas you can't handle. That's why some pastors disappear. When they carry you to Bayelsa on top of Kano to do church, you will decide that you are not called, even if you are called. Instead of you planting one nonsense branch, there, go. You will see one pastor that he swims for breakfast. He hears revelation only when he's underwater. You don't need to plant a church beside there. Send the guy books. Send him tapes. Buy him a satellite dish. Call him and say, what's the problem? Is your canoe leaking? Buy him an American-made, you understand what I'm saying? A floating platform. Bring the money that you wanted to use to send one guy who's afraid of water. Give that guy. He will plant 20 branches in 1 year. You wouldn't believe it. You are getting what I'm trying to explain? That's how maturity, and that's how what they call unity comes. When we grow and we are able to discern the body of Christ. Please, I digress into that to bring out an issue. Listen. The way Christians operate is different from the way the world operates. CAN, Christian Association of Nigeria, is good. It's an organization. It's a very good organization. But there are unbelievers there. I hope you know. PFN is good. They have more believers proportionally than CAN. But even TB Joshua wants to join PFN. According to Fela, waiting unite for United Nations. You see what I'm not explaining? No, Fela they smoke, but man, the guy been getting some revelations. What is the point? Organizations can't unite you. Only truth and maturity can bring you into unity. You know, I've been telling you about marriage for a long time. Any book that tells you, you know, half of the any marriage counseling done by an unbeliever is not marriage counseling. You cannot listen, because the only thing that makes marriage sweet is an infusion of the Spirit of God. If God does not pour his Spirit into it, discussion, oh my Father. Let me just leave that one. Discussion can't work. The Bible says he withdraws his Spirit and they expire. Once God brings his Spirit out of a place, the thing disintegrates. You cannot negotiate life back into it. You get my point? That's why those that used to tell you, I hated and I still today despise the expression motivational speaker. Because some of the words we used to speak on radio used to motivate people. So I went for a meeting. I saw the way they printed booklet and put my name there. Guest speaker. They put my name and put on that a motivational speaker. I said, everybody, bring out your booklet. Take a pen. Start drawing on top of that word, motivational. Why? Because you cannot motivate a dead man to walk. Speak from now till tomorrow, he can only decay. You must have life. The Father has life in himself and he has given the Son life and given him the power to impart life into anyone. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is the only thing that can make that man that was dead, make him rise and begin to walk. So no matter how much talk you talk, I hate the idea of motivation. You can only motivate those who are alive. In the same manner, all right? If a marriage is dead, you can't talk love back into it. That's why in that my book, Should I Say Yes? I refer to what Ed Koh called the circumcised marriage. And the story is just what I loved about it. Dead romance, dead relationship. You want it back to life, there's no negotiation. Kneel down, let's pray it back there. When the spirit returns, then we can ask, I explain to you how to use the spirit, how to cooperate with the spirit to bring love and joy into your life. Please, what I'm going to emphasize in all of these things is the ministry of the prophet. In Christianity, we operate by prophecy. Listen, people say, can't you organize? In this day, you know, because of the crisis in Nigeria, anytime I hear that, can't you organize? The prayer I want to pray is that God disorganized them. Yes, because you put your faith in the wrong place. You organize and go and see the president to do what? I don't want to go into that area. That was what Moses was trying to do. Organize. And God said, no. You are supposed to what? Prophesy. The point I'm making is this. The way by which we change the nation is not by being a social commentator. You don't have to join any political party as a Christian so you can change the nation. If joining a political party is part of your career, it's good. Are you getting my point? But don't think that Christians need to get more involved in politics than the nation will change. Crap. Nonsense. It's a fat lie. Join politics if you are called into governance. Amen? That's all. And do your calling. I will not join politics. I'm a preacher. My wife ain't joined politics. Many of you here will join. You will be governors, you'll be senators, and one day, a president. But not so that you will go there and change the country. That will only happen when, listen, you must understand that doctrine of the appointed time. No matter the zeal you have in your heart, no matter the intensity of that zeal and the power in your soul, if you try to jump ahead of the appointed time, you will land in the land of the Midianites. I'm telling you. With all the zeal in Moses wanted to extract the people out by force, where did they land? In the wilderness with Jethro, priest of Midian. Why? I'm trying to bring out an issue here. You will see something. It is not just you enter into government, country is good. That's part of it. If you are in power, I expect you to do things that are right. And I believe very strongly that when God wants to change some things, what he does is to put people in power. But listen to this. Only when the time is ripe for him to bless the people thus. Because he says something. When I want to punish the Egyptian, I will put him into the hands of a cruel ruler. I decide who rules him, depending on what I want to do to him. I don't know what I hear. That is, it is not God. Give us good leaders. We pray that. You know, I pray that also. But that's not primary. Go and check my prayers. One thing is always first. Lord, have mercy on us. Because with that mercy, that good leader can't do anything. He won't even go there. He won't even get there, I wanted to say. It's only when God said, the time to favor Zion has come, then good leaders will appear out of, you said, these guys were here all this while. One of the things that makes me laugh in the world today, people don't know how to analyze things. They say democracy is good. That thing is a fat lie. There's nothing good about democracy. I didn't say it's bad, did I say so? But it's not the solution to anything. And let me just prove to you that they know it is not the solution. What is democracy? The majority decides, Abby. What about you have a nation where 99% are fools? You think it's a joke? Those who shout democracy, democracy, oh boy, they mellow the thing small, small. One day in Nigeria, many years ago, they said, democracy, democracy, end of military rule. Then they did democracy, and the Islamic militants won by fair vote. By fair vote. Oh boy, those rulings, saying, like, we know the handover. And the champion of democracy, America, supported them. What was the argument? We know democracy is good, but you hand over to these guys, that's the last election. I said, but you said democracy. The populace spoke. Did they not speak? Democracy is not a solution to anything. I'm not campaigning against democracy. Do you understand? I'm going to explain something. Things seem to work. Whatever it is, when the appointed time to favor the people comes. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, if the appointed time to favor, let's say Nigeria comes, you will institute a monarchy and it will be good. You will bring back colonial masters and it will be good. All this noise you are making, let's tell ourselves the truth. If South Africa was a democratic country 100 years ago, they would be more backwards today than Nigeria is. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Look, don't let your blasting what they call solidarity deceive you. If they want to host World Cup in Africa now, where will he go? Talk the truth now. Where will he go? If they want to host Olympics now, where you go carry and go? They go carry and go Lagos. And that country was not built by my brethren, the black people. It was built because a minority was ruling. Anyway, you know, I'm having a problem right now to get back into the main message I want to preach today. But I hope you are following the point I'm making. That is, Christians, we look at life from a different perspective. We're not trying to rise. Arise, everybody. Move. It is good. But the truth is that the way by which we change a nation, are you getting my point? The way by which we change it is through operation of spiritual principles. So God said to Moses, oh boy, it is not this noise. Let me teach you how to prophesy. Let me teach you how to what? To prophesy. And that's why I said today, I want to go into teaching about what I call the dynamics of prophesying. Let me be like that. Or understanding the prophetic. Yeah, that's a simpler one. Understanding the prophetic. Because the way by which you operate is by prophesying. Please, I can't leave this yet. I want to talk about this nation a bit more. And you want to discuss, when you've gone to the beer parlor, you can talk nonsense. But when, you know what I mean? I hope you don't go to beer parlor, all right? But I'm going to say that when you are aware, everybody is not normal, you know, like they are half drunk. You can be discussing all those rubbish political talk. I said that's the problem of Nigeria. The truth of anywhere, any country, is that the problems are spiritual. And deliverance is by prophecy. That's what I'm talking about. Now listen, when the word of prophecy has gone out and it is working, it starts manifesting in different ways. And whichever way it manifests in this area, people who do not know, they think it's that method. They now want to copy it in a land that prophecy has not gone to water. And the Bible says it clearly. We'll see that in the book of Hebrews. That Moses, what happened? By faith, the nation of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. And then when the Egyptians attempted, what happened? They drowned. You don't attempt outwardly, all right, what a man who inwardly used prophecy to set his path straight. You don't attempt what he did outwardly, thinking it will work for you. You will drown. Why? What's keeping him safe is a prophetic word. And that's what I want to explain. Understanding the prophetic. So if you are listening to this and you get this message as number one in a series, actually we are carving out that series out of the whole series of learning from Moses. So we'll talk about this, understanding the prophetic for like 3, 4, 5 days, no matter, I don't know how long it take me. Then when we are through with that, we'll now go back to study other things about the life of Moses beyond this matter of the prophecy. You understand what I'm saying? Like for the last two sessions on that matter, we spoke on the prophetic matter, but I want to just give some more insight on this issue of prophecy. I want to just pull it out. So if you're getting this on CD, you see a series titled Understanding the Prophetic. It's just something, it's excised from the whole series, Learning from Moses. We'll now return to Learning from Moses afterwards. All right, the Lord is good. First thing I want to explain, all right, let's talk about the prophetic. You know, prophecy and predictions are two different things. Let's start with that. A prophecy is not a prediction. Let me tell you what a prophecy is. A prophecy is an utterance of the will of God. It is not a prediction. What's a prediction? A prediction is, oh God, how do I explain this? When you have worked things out, you understand my point? For example, if the clouds are very heavy, you can predict that it will rain. Do you follow on the explain? All right? That's a prediction. You know, the current Olympics, United States is in the same group as Nigeria in basketball. In basketball. Oh, oh boy. In basketball. You know, if you say nah, soccer, you know, about football. I say, yeah, no. We'll teach them a few lessons. We can try that one. One's a basketball. Say, so, Father, we worship. Amen. Let that will be done. Why? It's called a prediction. You have seen the life of the Americans. Basket, that is, if they bring their college team, you understand, the second set in a normal college team, they are likely to win that goal. Oh, I don't want to just distract us talking about it. Now, but these are predictions. That's what I want to make. So when you hear that they beat Nigeria, you know what they said? We did not intend to humiliate Nigeria. Well, who asked you? Oh, you're not ready in this thing. You know, they beat Nigeria silly. Yes. Uh-huh. And they now said that, no, we did not intend to humiliate Nigeria. We are not saying you intended it. We are not angry. Are we angry? If Brazil beats us 4-0 in football, we'll be angry. Yes, we will. We don't care that you're Brazil. Why should you beat us 4-0? But in basketball, you beat us 150-0. It's basketball. And you are United States of America. Now, I'm bringing an issue. That's a prediction. A prophecy is different. This is a prophecy. Ah, say, now wow, say God. We are playing United States of America in basketball, in Olympics. You now ask, what will happen? Now, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. This is a prophecy. A prediction is your way things you know how it will come to pass. And it's almost like what's going to be is going to be. There's nothing you can do about it. A prophecy is like this. A word goes forth and say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that's all. Nothing more than that. And then an interpretation of that word blessed comes out to you. And it says, all right, that one of the meanings is victory in any contest you go for. It's a prophecy. This interesting part, it doesn't say anything about United States. It does not say anything about Nigeria. It is to them according to their faith. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I will explain it further. That's one side of it. There's another side in which God says that I have determined at this time to humiliate a nation whose president has said it is okay for men to marry men. I don't know whether I get my point. Therefore, listen, it doesn't matter how strong their army is, which is their basketball team. I'm not making an issue here. A prophecy is just an expression of the will of God, which has nothing to do with the current circumstances. But, listen to this one, I want to add to it. It might come to pass or may not come to pass, depending upon the situation of the hearts of those that the word comes to. That is, this is how prophecies are. We know the predictions, but let's assume two people in the Nigerian team. Before, when everybody was practicing, they said, coach, please give us time out. They go back into their closet and say, Lord, I do not believe that victory, you know, read from the scriptures, that the battle, the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. They may look strong, but for goodness sake, I want this scripture demonstrated today. Are you getting my point? And just two people in the team, they will join their hands and say, Lord, victory is of the Lord. We are asking you for victory. Then a few scriptures will drop into their heads. They will come out, declare that those scriptures upon the pitch. While the world will be watching, American basketballers will want to leap into the air. They will slip and fall. And Nigeria will beat them by one goal. It will be a case, listen to this, of David and Goliath. Are you getting my point? That's how it is. David went with the victory of God in his mind. Listen, the word was there for Saul. Saul didn't unite with it. The word was there for the whole of Israel. None of them united with it. But one little boy united with the word of victory. And listen, if you came into the pitch against United States Dream Team, you will win. Are you getting my point? What I want to emphasize about prophecy there is not prediction. Prophecy is like this. I give you my will. Use it or don't use it. If you use it, that which I said will come to pass. If you don't, it will appear as if I never said anything. You know, there's something I want to explain to you. I began it on Tuesday. Let me explain something. Actually, what brought this to my mind, I began to meditate because I was studying the Old Testament. Now, listen to this, though. Listen to this. I was on the Old Testament, and something struck me. You've heard me say this several times, that most of the Gospels preached about physical current-day Israel. It's a fat lie. Yeah, I'm not going to discuss it now, but that's a matter of fact. It's a fat lie. I've told you, if you want to go on pilgrimage, it's good. In fact, were it not that I have preaching engagement in 2 weeks' time, I told my wife I wanted to go to Ghana. There's something that wanted to take me to Ghana. So, I mean, when I got that invitation for that thing, there was something that was happening. Oh, God, that is, I went through my phone. And as I was about to go get to that calendar, I was almost prophesying upon the calendar that shift that program, shift to another weekend. So, this is already stuck there. We can't do anything about it. All right? I'm going to preach. But I want to say that it's sightseeing. Amen? What did I say? If you want to go to Israel to go and sightsee, to see sight, to go and see things, it's good. But if you feel spiritual after coming from there, you should slap yourself. Give yourself a nice slap because you have been deceived. Let me warn you, there's more than one tomb of Jesus Christ there, I hope you know. Who was it that brought me a photograph to show me? One day I said it here. There was one brother who came back and showed me two different tombs of Jesus Christ. It's money. Hey. Oh, God. The Last Supper was eaten in a room that will be shown to you depending on who you pay to show it to you. There are different rooms in which Jesus ate his Last Supper. Some of you don't know what is going on. And Christians will go there and be rubbing the sand. Listen to me. Ordinary geography tells you that weathering, it's not weathering they call it, has removed the sand that Jesus walked on. That was 2,000 and something years ago. Shall I tell you the truth? Nobody knows where they buried him. They don't know. The Romans destroyed everything. I hope you know. They said that this is the house where Mary poured oil on the feet of Jesus. If you believe that, you need oil on your head. The Romans have wasted everything. The one they did not waste, a lot of them, weather has destroyed it. You think God likes monuments? You think God likes monuments like that? So you'll be you're worshiping nonsense. One of the reasons why he went and hid Moses, he knew what would happen. Then Moses, just lie down here, die. Let me cover you. They will never find you. You know why? Those guys knew how to embalm people. They were coming from Egypt. Moses died first. They will embalm you. Anybody has a problem, you go out to the shrine of Moses and go and pray. Anyway, let me just leave that. All right? I'm digressing again. What's my problem? Let me sit on my message. Say, Pastor, sit on your message. Thank you, and that's encouraging. The Lord is good. So what I'm trying to say, most of that one na joke. A lot of interpretations concerning Israel, modern day Israel, and biblical prophecy. I have seen it, a lot of them just stretching things far. I will not sit down discussing that. What came to me was I thought about it and said, many of the things that the Lord said concerning Israel, concerning Judah, physically, they did not come to pass, and they will never come to pass. Pastor Banky, how dare you? Prophecies and predictions are two different things. He said, what am I talking about? All that God gave were his prophecies, his will. And let me say something which is so important about God's will. The fulfillment is not automatic. The fulfillment is not guaranteed unless it is united with faith in the heart of the person it was sent to. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Please, follow me very closely. There's something I want to explain to you. The Bible says clearly that in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are what? King James says they are yea and amen. That is, they are confirmed and they are established. They are established in Christ Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let me summarize like this. When Jesus was walking, he was a summary, the totality of everything that God ever said to mankind. And that's why one of the names that was used to describe in Revelation was the Word of God. That is, there's no utterance that God ever uttered that's not inside him. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt amongst us. Now listen to this clearly. Don't miss what I'm about to say. He said he came unto his own. What happened? Let me put it like this. You didn't get it. Isaiah's prophecies came unto Israel, and Israel did not receive it. But as many as received the prophecies of Isaiah, to them he gave the power to have those words manifested in their lives. That is, if everything Isaiah said about Judah, about Jerusalem, does not ever happen physically to that land in Palestine, it has not made the word of God of no effect. You know why? When Israel as a nation rejected it, God said, don't worry. As many as received it, it will come to pass in their lives. Let me say it again. He said, he came unto his own, and what happened? They did not receive him. That is, the word directed to from people, the people rejected it. So what did God do? God said, don't worry about it. That word is open for as many as we receive it. What am I saying? If you see, comfort ye, Jerusalem. Say kindly, comfort ye, my people. Say kindly unto Jerusalem. All right? Speak kindly to her. Say to her that her warfare has been accomplished. Listen to me. It's a prophecy. Those who dwelt in Jerusalem, if the prophet shows up, and he says, comfort ye, my people. Relax. It's going to be okay. Are you getting my point? If he speaks to them, and they say, who are you? Who sent you? And they say, I am a servant of God. They say, give us a stone. And they stone him or crucify him. Their rest has been crucified. I don't know what I heard I said. Their peace has been destroyed. Oh, please, I pray you get my point. That is, if he comes unto his own, and his own rejects him, it's good. Why? Because as many as will receive that word, it is to them that that word will be fulfilled in their lives. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. I've heard somebody say, some people say that God is not, you know, talking about Israel, physical Israel today, and Jerusalem, that they don't have faith in God. He said, listen, God is not doing what he's going to do because of their faith. He's doing it because of his own faithfulness. I said, keep quiet. You've never heard that the word preached did not profit them, not having been mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. Listen to what prophecies are. If God prophesies to Jerusalem, you will be delivered out of captivity. If nobody rises up, hey, are you getting what I'm saying? If nobody rises up to take hold of that word and use that word to walk out of captivity, they will die in captivity as if God never said anything. I hope you know what I'm saying. You know what happened was I began to study through the scriptures. I will read things. Actually, a few weeks ago, I said, Lord, I'm having some confusion here. It was almost as if this book was poetry. Shakespeare. Just talk. No effect. Until the Holy Spirit said, oh boy, look, you've missed one point. The word preached doesn't profit until it is mixed with faith. Then it struck me that it says, surely the Lord God does nothing until he has revealed them to his servants, the prophets. You know, I told you before, a country like Nigeria or any country in the world, it will never get better just because it's tired of being bad. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You put meat or fish on the table, after a while, I say, I don't rot rich now, let me just become good. No, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Except salt is introduced, rottenness is persistent. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, when God came up to Abraham and said, I'm going to destroy them. And Abraham said, what if we have 10 people? At the end of it, why did God settle for 10? Or whatever number he settled for. Let me say it to you. It's simply because that was the only hope for the land. That is, the rottenness will only be reversed. Are you getting my point? When the 10 begins to take hold of certain issues. And God said, well, as long as they are there, there is hope. And one thing about God is that once there is hope, he gives people time. God does not destroy except there's no hope. When God said to the Amalekites, said concerning the Amalekites, go and destroy them. What he meant is that the very fiber of their genes, every connection they have spiritually, in their souls, in their body is wicked. And there is nothing that can be done to redeem these people. Save the rest of mankind. Wipe them out. Please, I'm bringing an issue here. And follow me very closely. All right? Talking about prophecies. Why God gave prophecies is so that we will use them as in warfare to... Now listen, he said the kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. When you see bombing going off, happening in Nigeria, bombs going off and things like that are happening, it is a fight for the soul of the nation. Are you getting my point? There are prophetic words that have been released. Let me give a very simple one. For example, he said, I'm the Lord. No, how do you say it again? Oh, anyway, the one I'm bringing is God said that I am the one that I make wars cease. It's a prophetic word. That word is hanging out there, but people are fighting. Until people arise in the midst of the fight and lay claim to that word of God and begin to prophesy it upon the land. That's why he doesn't do anything without giving, first of all, an understanding and revelation to his servants, the prophets. Then they begin to fight with the words, with the prophecy that God has issued. Prophesying is not information, it's warfare. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's not as if I'm informing you like, Nigeria go good, your country go good, your life go good, your family go good, your wife go good, your husband go good. It's not information. We are fighting to bring those things to existence. And what the devil does every day is to give you cause. Listen, the devil doesn't have power. The kind of power we think. We think it has. People often say, we discussed it before. We're not talking about we overcome. The only thing he does, he has, these are his methods. He accuses. He tempts. I gave a number of them. He deceives. Thank you. And listen to me, most, if including Christians, most Southerners in Nigeria today, they are deceived. All you need to do is read their comments about these things in Nigeria. You know they are deceived. And what's happening? They are beginning to fight on the side of the devil. They don't think, they don't realize that the solution is not politics. It's not the appointment or disappointment. What's the opposite of appointment? Of whoever is national security advisor. They don't realize that that's not what the issue is. They are deceived. So they say things like, this thing has to end in this country, otherwise we are going to divide it. The devil says, thank you. The devil says what? Thank you. Then they hear another bomb went up. Boom! We said it. We are going to divide it. And the devil says what? Thank you. It's warfare. You know what warfare is? Things that are tough. Let me explain something. If, let me give an example. You are married. Are you married? No, you are not. Anyway, you are married. Say amen. Say, prophecy. This guy won't miss this thing now. Now, as a married man, for example, there's no spirituality and discipline in it if your wife always does what is good for you to always speak positively about her. What's the big deal? You need to be a wicked soul not to do that. Since you are not wicked, you are just a normal person. Even if you are not too spiritual, you're just a normal person. If anytime you get home, she goes, oh, honey, how was today? She gives you a hug, a kiss, everything. Ah-ah. She just say, God of miracle, now my papa, you know, like they say. It's not warfare, is it? Let me tell you what warfare is. When after she has displayed Jezebelness and witchcraft, you remember, all right? And therefore, you have to declare. You know, the Bible says that they brought her to Adam. And then he said, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He now said, a woman shall she be called. Are you getting my point? And go and read the previous verses. He said, whatever Adam said the name of every living being was, that name was his name. Hey, I've always told you, you are very careless. You don't know how to manage money. You are spendthrift. You talk too much. Everything will happen. You told the whole street. A woman she shall be called. Whatever Adam says the name of the living creature, that was his name. Therefore, your woman shall be careless, spendthrift. Talk, 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 talk. Why? It's the word that you issued forth. What is the fight? I told you before, faith is what? A fight. Fight the good fight of faith. It's boxing your mouth. Don't say it. I know you want to say it. That's the fight. Are you getting my point? This is the... Oh, God, I was thinking about it today. Do you know... One of the greatest fights in life is a fight of the woman, not even the man. Listen, loving, I've discovered. Oh God, I'm going to marriage again. Loving a woman is far easier than a woman submitting to a man. Even if you don't love her, you will get erection one night. Now they call at the end, though. All you single boys, close your ears. Apostle. Am I telling lies? I'm not lying. You did a boom before, then you just wake up. Oh boy. Olaiga. The quarrel go end that day. Loving her is easy. There's a pressure to love. So you quickly forgive. Okay, forget now. It's something else you are looking for. All this forget now. You're not that patient, you're not that loving. You're looking for something. And it's in the word of God. You can have it. It's true.
I was like, Pastor, I don't believe you said that. Better believe I said so. Because it's the truth. Submission? No. Forget. Forget that. I don't know the need. I don't know the day the need for submission comes up. The pressure in the soul all the time is rebellion. No, I'm serious. The natural thing for any human, listen, let me tell you something. For you guys, so you know, the woman is just like you. He's an adult, grown up. Some of them are MDs of banks. Look, some of the biggest Indian companies are run by women. They go to school, they get PhD, they are professors too. Then you will now say, forsake your understanding. Renounce your father's house and your husband will love you. When Jesus came to a man and said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. That's exactly what you have told that woman. Sell all your profession and give to this idiot. Let me summarize it. Tell your neighbor, it's a fight. Tell your neighbor, it's a fight. I discovered it's a fight. You have to wake up by a mirror. As a woman, my husband is wise. In the name of Jesus, my husband is wise. I'm a blessed woman. I'm a child of God. If I must submit to somebody, he is wise. Listen, forget the foolishness he has practiced. You are that God, though, this guy is wise. He's wise. He's wise. And you know, God will support you. He will give him wisdom. He will give you occasion to understand that he's wise. You know, something happened the other day. It's very funny. My wife won't do me shakara. That was a few days ago. Chima, where are you? That's when she sent you text directly. Normally, she will call me first. I wanted to do me shakara. I said, oh, my husband, eh? Okay, leave it. And I said, Chima, please, I'm arriving tomorrow. Chima called me. I said, okay, madam, come that you arrive. But me, I'm in Enugu. I told Israel. I said, you see, God is good. God has a way of ensuring that you can't listen. You know, I'm your husband. I was anointed to bless you. I was anointed to give you direction. I was anointed to make your life good. I know specifically God blessed my wife with me that she might live long and prosper and increase. So I smile. I said, Israel, see what I had to tell you. I just, you know, say, Pastor, you're a blessed man. Say it now. I'm a blessed man. I just whipped out my phone. I said, Namdi. He said, yes, sir. I said, my wife is arriving tomorrow. She needs two vehicles to pick her from the airport. You will arrange that. He said, no problem, sir. I hung up the phone. I sent her a text. Namdi, we'll meet you at the airport. Say, Pastor, you are blessed. Say it now. What I'm going to say is that, listen, God will cause such things to happen when you have from the onset. You don't marry a man to test him. The time of testing is when he proposed. You go test that time. Once you don't marry and finish, oh boy, you don't marry him. I was telling Bishop today that if I want to do wedding, it will be like court initiation. 30 minutes you are repeating and eating things. You go, they talk, you go, they chop. I will give you 10 holy communions. Because you must step into it with your heart totally in it. I'm talking about prophecy. There is no look, you know what I found out in life? The only nice men are morons. All the men that women say, that guy is nice, they are fools. I'm telling you, listen. Look. Oh, God. God forgive me that I use what. Look, listen. Oh, God, I know what I'm telling you. If you see any guy, every woman, they say that guy is a nice guy. Just know that guy is a. He's not going anywhere in life. He's messed up thoroughly. Go and check it. Oh, God. I know what I'm saying. The only other guys, that women point out as being nice and they all like and he's really nice, he's already married. The only person that knows he's not nice is his wife. The other girls, the other young women, they just see her, you know, you see her from outside. The guy, they dress sharp all the time. When they need money, he gives them. If they have a problem, he listens. So they think he's nice. Listen, the only person we know say this guy is not nice is the one that married him. All the other ones, they don't know how far. If you see a guy that is single, and every lady really knows that he's nice, go and check it. That guy does not have a brain. I know what I'm saying. You know why? This is what they do. But let me give you a practical example. When we're in university, there's one sister, our friend, was in our fellowship. She will look up to you. He'll go. You guys, that's my friend and I, Yapos. You guys are not nice. Just they abuse us anyhow. He said, look at that guy. He's very sweet. Oh, that brother is sweet. So my friend will pinch me. Say, that brother is sweet. He's sweet. How many of these sweet, sweet brothers don't propose to you? You get married them. It's sweet, sweet, sweet. All the ones you are falling in love with are hard men like us. I bet let's hear what. Oh God, I'm oh God, God, help me to see what I'm saying. You know the truth? Eh? Women, listen though. Not women, everybody. The truth is that that's niceness and softness. Is not compatible with being a husband. And intuitively, the women know it. A man that allows them to have their way all the time, most of the time, they are afraid of marrying him. That's true. I know a lady, good friend of mine, we used to work together when I was in those days. We're very friendly, we're very, very close, you know. We used to gist extensively. So I knew every guy pursuing her. And I knew the ones she wanted to marry or the one, you know, and why not. So if I told her story in the book, should I say yes? There was one story I didn't tell, should I say yes? There was one guy that loved her properly. That guy chased her persistently for nothing less than 4 years. And it was dedicated. I don't mean, you know, some of you, just they chase small today, you forget tomorrow. He said, you will see me last time, you didn't come. I go Bible study, I believe me. You know, that kind of chasing. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I have not labored for labor, you know, under labor for Richard. Hey, this guy was laboring in the house of labor for Richard. So one day I asked her, I said, oh girl, come. See, you are getting me confused. You've told me this, and that about this guy. So what is the problem now? I said, if you ask my counsel, marry him more. This is the way forward. And this guy, not be small guy, yo. By that time, he was about to qualify as a consultant surgeon. Now he say, that's banky, you know. This was the illustration she gave me. And I gave one of the illustrations in the book. This is another one she gave me. She said, this is how it is. We are going on the road like this. That day we were talking, she and I were walking. He said, is it the way we are going now? If I tell him I don't like him being on this side, he should come to the other. He said, do you know he will cross over without asking questions? That was what she told me. Now, you now say that, maybe the guy should be a bit firmer. That's, you know the interesting part? She and I, we used to go to church together, you know. Oh, we're going. I said, let's pass here. She said, no, this is a better road. I said, well, I know it's a shorter road, but this is a more... Because this other one is crowded, you know, you'll be bumping into students. This one, just walk on a normal road, coming from church. She said, no, this is a better road. I said, this is a better one. Do you know there and there we will separate? She will go this way. I will go this way. We'll unite again in front and continue our journey. How more stubborn can a woman get? Yet, the same stubborn woman was not willing to marry a man who couldn't put her in her proper place. Why was saying that when you say somebody nice guy? No, these women, they don't want to marry you, Mr. Nice Guy. They won't marry. They'll be calling you nice, 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 nice. I'm going somewhere. So this is the point, eh? The real man, that's why I went into that idiocy and moronic matter. The real man, do you understand? Listen to me, he's not nice. I'm not saying he's wicked, though. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You will wake up in the morning, you are finished dressing. What's happening here? Oh, yes, marrying today. You say, we are not going. You will think it's a joke. Hey, okay, maybe you don't want to go. Me, I'm going. So you didn't hear what I said. We are not going. Now, there's a reason why I'm explaining all of this. Eh? If you want to marry but born nice, you will not marry a sane human being. But that allows you to have your way all the time. Everything you say is correct. He never does anything that will hurt you just for the interest of peace. That is the peace of a graveyard. There's no trouble in a graveyard. I hope you know that. Everybody is dead and buried. There's no disturbance. Noise is only where people are alive. There's some place that husband don't die. You understand what I'm saying? So, there's peace. Whatever mama say is good. The Lord is good. I'm not having an issue. Listen. The real Bobogon, good husband, is anointed to give direction. He's anointed to lead. Do you get my point? And for the normal wife, that's not an ungodly woman, not even a specially godly woman, just a normal person, many times his decisions are painful. That's why I haven't gone into all of these things. His decisions are what? They are painful. Sometimes they are outright annoying. I just wanted to add this one to it. And a lot of times, it's not about me. I've talked to many men. And a lot of times, he doesn't want to give an explanation only because you asked for it. I don't know what I heard I said. One day, one of our friends called my wife. Talk, finish. At the end of the day, my wife reported. No, after she called my wife, and then she called me and reported her husband to me. And finished. Now I called the boy, say, oh boy, hey, your wife called me. And tell me this one. And then by the time he finished talking, I called the wife. I said, you see, this was where you blew it. Because he said something, and she said, and why not? And the guy said, don't worry about it. I have said it. Period. She couldn't understand the wickedness in the soul of this guy. Now, the guy had very good reasons. Do you understand? Which, if he gave to her, she would understand. Do you understand? But there was another problem. Why are you demanding the explanation? Like I said to you before, that's not submission. Because if any stranger explained to you why you shouldn't come out of here, you won't come out. They say there are rattlesnakes outside, and there are policemen shooting the rattlesnakes, and you don't want to get caught in the crossfire between dangerous serpents and dangerous policemen. What will you do? You will stay inside. Is that submission? No, it's common sense. You want to stay alive. Submission is when somebody just says, oh, but don't go outside. You say, why? Just trust me. Don't go outside. Then you now judge on the person. Is this guy to be obeyed? He said, tell me why now. Otherwise, I'm going. No, that's not your husband. That one is your boyfriend. Why did I go into all of this? Submission is hard. Most husbands are not nice. You didn't marry them. You saw the nice guy, you refused to marry him. Inside your soul, you wanted to marry a real husband, so the guy had to refuse a few things. Say, yes, now my guy be this. If I want an American man, my friend was telling me on radio, he spoke, he said, look, tell our sisters, we know you wanted us to beat you to prove to you that we are the man. We have done it once. We don't want to do it again. Please, behave. This is an American man talking. So, you see, you didn't want to marry a nice guy. Why? Because you agree with me that when a guy is totally nice, it is because he does not have a brain. And guys, I'm not going out. I'm not saying you should go out and I'll be punching every woman you see just to prove that you have a brain. No. I just mean that there are times you have to put your foot down and give direction. You are a man. You are the head. You are not the follower. You get what I'm saying? All right. Now, the point I'm going to make is that. So, you see, it is more... God, my time is gone. I have not even started talking about prophecy. I will finish my message today. What did I say? Today. But I will be quick. The Lord is good. That's what I'm making. So you see, submission is hard. Tell your neighbor it's hard. It is. But tell your neighbor again, there's grace. And that's what we are talking about. How do we effect it? There is no book that can describe it. What we do is we do what? We prophesy. That's what I'm trying to explain. I want to emphasize that. It's not a method. It's not a book you read. Method. No. Young women, you hear me? Young wives, hear it too. That's the way, that is, there are times the guy, what I'm going to explain is that, you know, that is why I went into that. That's what the devil wants is what? He's a tempter. What he wants is for you to agree and prophesy with him. So when there's problem in the country, people start agreeing and prophesying. They don't realize that it's what? It's warfare. What did I call it? Warfare. That's why I started talking about submission as an example. It's warfare. It's not because it is easy. That's why I explained the fact that Bobo Nice, you did not marry him. They've been chasing you since you have refused to agree. Why? They are too nice. So it's warfare. So you get in there, you have to fight it out. Not with your husband, but with the spirit. Do you get my point? You wake up in the morning, you will tell, listen, this is what is becoming of godly women. In the name of Jesus, I am a godly woman. I am submissive to my husband. Listen, you need to do it. Otherwise, before you know what's happening, you will be in charge. And that's one position in life you don't want. Trust me, you don't want that position. The Bible says that we have to give earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest they do what? Slip away. Good behavior slips away. They slip away. You won't realize it. Let me tell you something. I was telling you about idiocy. You know what I'm saying? Every man that a wife is always insistent on her way. Two things happen in the marriage. One of two things. Either the guy becomes extremely abusive. Every time you talk, he slaps you. It's one of two things. Or he becomes totally docile. Whatever you say, you can have your way. And don't even think he agrees with you. You know, I'm always being drawn back to that marriage thing. Let me leave it. I need to finish my prophetic matter. He says part of it. What I'm going to explain here is this. It's what? Warfare. Prophecy is not a prediction. I've seen the two of you. You look like you make a very good couple. Yes, your marriage will do well. That's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is, I have not seen the two of you. I don't need the two of you. I don't want to know the two of you. If I don't know my husband back today at his wedding. Oh, this was very funny. Let me finish laughing. Then I'll tell you. They said, who gives this girl out in marriage? Her father came out. The person appointed to the young man said, do you know him? The guy said, I'm still watching him. Like I said, I don't know him. No. The man said jokingly, he said, I don't know him yet. Yes. That was wisdom. Said, do you know him? If it's recognition, I'm adding my own words now. If it's recognition, I can recognize him. Is he the one I want to, that I'm giving my daughter to? Yes. Do I know him? I'm sorry, Pastor. I don't know him. When he said it, the whole church laughed. And the man repeated like two or three times. Before I was like, boy, talk now. He said, yes, 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 he's the one. Do you? Hey, I give. Now took the wife and give. But the point is that. He said, do you know him? The guy said, no. I don't know him. I'm meeting him for the first time. He just married my daughter. I will watch him over the next few months, then I will begin to know him. And the truth is that if you ask him here, do you know him? The true answer is also what? No. How can you know him? The Lord is good. But whether you know him or not, that's what I'm talking about. Prophecy is not that I have gauged him, he's from a nice background. He's a very quiet man. Again, digression. The quieter they are, the more stubborn they are. I hope you know that. These guys, when they talk, they are the ones that their hearts are made of rock. Those of us who talk like this. Anyway, it doesn't always follow, but the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I'm not making an issue here, all right? And the issue is that, listen, all this is from a nice background. His father is very quiet. He always treated his mother well. And the parents have been married now for the last 35 years, and we believe that the marriage will continue for the next 60 years. He's from a good family. Tell your neighbor, soothsaying like Philistines. That's prediction. It does not work. Prophecy is this. Listen to me. Let me get back to my issue of prophecy. I know your father beheaded your mother. So the place you are from is the worst it can be. I know in your village, when they're angry with their wives, they chop off their little finger. I know. But if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. It's warfare. Not only the wife talking now, even the husband talking about himself and about his wife. It's warfare. We're not trying to predict. We are saying, yes, I know you want to behead me. But in the name of Jesus Christ, there shall be no beheading in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of anger has died in this house. In the name of Jesus Christ, whatever God has joined together, let no man, and even the husband or wife, they are also men, they can't put them asunder. It's not prediction. We are saying, this is the prayer. Thy will be done. Now, this is not, let thy will be done. No. If this is thy will, we speak to you, will be done. Listen, that is why God gave prophecies. And that's why you see many of them go unfulfilled. They are not predictions. Did you hear what I said? They are not what? Predictions. They are prophecies. They always go unfulfilled if they are not mixed with faith in the hearts of those that hear them. Listen, 99% of the prophecies concerning the physical Jerusalem, you will never see it fulfilled. Christians, some people have donated money to build a temple that Jesus will return to. It means the word of God. You are saying the word of God. Hey, listen. The word of God is power. And it will not return void until it has accomplished that which God sent it to go and accomplish. Listen to this. When it gets to his own, and his own rejects him, he goes from Jerusalem and comes to Enugu and tabernacles amongst men. I don't know what I heard what I said. That word will be fulfilled somewhere else. When God spoke to Moses to go and bring the people into the promised land, did they enter? No. Why? The word preached was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it, so it did not profit them. But a generation came afterwards, they entered. If physical Jerusalem does not enter, Enugu will enter. Do you get my point? Listen, if physical Jerusalem does not enter, the spiritual one, my life, will enter. Do you get the point I am making? Prophecies are not predictions. They are expressions of the will of God. And it's like this. Take it or leave it. If you take it, it blesses you. That word is fulfilled in your life. If you don't take it, it destroys you. Oh, that was when I finally understood the scriptures. And Paul says something clearly for those who are worried about Jerusalem. Go and read that, the book of Ephesians. Paul said that this is, in fact, there are many of them. In Colossians chapter 1, 27, he said, this is the mystery that was hid. And this is summary of it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you go to that Ephesians, he explained that before now, they did not realize it. But now I have come to it. God has given me the revelation that there is no longer two, but one. If you read chapter 2, it says in verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. This is New American Standard. And broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Let me just leave it there. I don't have time to go into it now in details. But what was he saying in summary? If you hear any gospel that says that blessing is for the Jew, tell the person, who is the Jew? I don't know what I hear what I said. Because if you say it's only for the Jews, not for the Gentiles, there's still a dividing wall. He said, give no offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. You're either a member of the church, the group called Jews, or you're a member of the group called Gentiles, or you're a member of the group called the church of God. You cannot be in the three, in more than one at a time. Any Jew that has believed is no longer a Jew. You know, Americans, they surprise me with the depth of ignorance that they demonstrate. Christians gathered in support of Jews. And Paul said it, go and read it. In the book of Philippians, he said that, beware of dogs. Beware of the fake circumcision. Go to Revelation, Jesus Christ said there's a synagogue where they say they are Jews, but they are not. Physically, naturally, they were Jews. But from the eyes of God, what Jesus said, they are not Jews. Paul said, we are the true circumcision, the true one. We are the true one. And all the promises of God are what? Yeah and amen in Christ Jesus. What Jesus did was that if you want the promises, I don't care who your father is, you come into Christ. Are you getting my point? What are prophecies there for? Prophecies, they are just the discoveries and the expressions of the will of God, which Jew or Gentile can take and make it become flesh in his life. And if you reject Christ Jesus, all the promises are rejected in your life. And listen to me, any land upon which you dwell will persistently be a desert. Listen. You think that thing we say, kiss the son, lest he be angry and you perish out of the way. You think it's only for Arabs. Read your scriptures well. The people he talks to naturally were Jews when he was warning them to kiss the son. Please, I hope you follow what I'm saying. What's my emphasis about prophecies? So you see, Isaiah comes unto his own, that is, in Jesus Christ now. If they reject him, no problem. Anybody who receives him. You know, Isaiah said, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Anybody who believes the report will see the hand of God. Therefore, when you see, he said, comfort you, my people. And you see a young man or a young woman, let's go back to that marriage thing. They said that his grandfather is divorced, his grandmother is divorced, his parents are divorced. That's one guy. What about the lady? In fact, we don't even know her father. His grandfather was never married. He had 25 children without her grandfather. Then he described everything. Real examples of confusion. These are products of marital confusion. The girl is from a home where the mother has had 5 husbands and the current one is not her husband. And none of her children is born to any of the 5 husbands. But God said, comfort you, my people. Say kindly to Jerusalem that her warfare has ended. You look at such a person. See, It is not, what was Isaiah talking about there? Who cares? He has gone on to his own. His own has rejected him. He's now looking for anybody that will believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, you say to that young man, and you say to that young man, and listen, if you're a pastor, be careful. Let God not slap you. Be careful that you only, even if your brain is confused, speak the word of God and leave the place. This relationship, how can it work? None of your business. What do you say to them? Hear ye the word of the Lord, both of you. Comfort ye, my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Say to her that her warfare has ended. Are you getting my point? Turn to both people and say, listen, in the area of marriage, your warfare has ended. Turn to that person, I say to you, in the area of marriage, your warfare has ended. If they believe it, you will think they were born by, one was born by Abraham, and the other one was born by Mother Mary. That's what you will think. For the amount of beauty and glory you see in their lives. Do you get my point? If you see any word that was uttered from the scriptures, if they say to Jerusalem, what didn't concern you? He went to Jerusalem. Did he not go there? What happened there? They hung him. What does that tell you? Whoever will believe in him, to that person has been given the power to receive the manifestation of that word. That word is yours. If he says that strangers will build your walls, listen, in life, if you believe that word, you always have help. Oh God, did you hear what I said? Then we said that he was speaking that Jerusalem one day. No, you know, the Christian go on television. One day, the Arab nations are going to gather and build the walls of Jerusalem. What did you concern me? As many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called. Listen, for me, strangers will build my walls. That is, I will declare it every day in the name of Jesus. In everything that I do, strangers will help me. I will have help from every corner. People that I don't know will fall over themselves to be a blessing to me. Listen, that's what prophecies are for. They are warfare. You sit down every day reading doctor's report about your life. Oh boy. He said, who will believe our report? There are two kinds of reports. There's a doctor's report and there is a report of God. What are prophecies? He said, listen, he said himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. You can be explaining, he inherited this one from his father. This one inherited from the mother. Say your neighbor, soothsaying like Philistines. What is prophecy? I don't care what their genes say. I have a word of creation here. And it says he took your infirmities and your diseases. By his stripes, you have been healed. What did I say? It's warfare. What did I say? What the devil wants is to persuade you to agree with him. You remember our story I said on Saturday again about the defeating of Aram? Let that thing raise his head 7 times. You have to crush it with the prophetic word 7 times. Let me summarize everything I've said so we can close. This is the point I'm making. Prophecies are not predictions. It's God shows you a template. And he says, see that you build your life according to that template. You know that's what he said to Moses. That template is a prophetic word. You now go down and use that word to be rearranging everything. He said, how do I know this was written to me? I've already explained it. Every promise of God has a name called Christ Jesus. He came unto his own. Those whose names were directly written on them to Israel. Alright? To Judah. But his own did not receive him. But as many Jews or Gentiles, Paul showed us in Ephesians chapter 2 that it makes no difference. As many as received him, to them, the opportunity has been given to experience that power that is documented in that prophetic word. It's not a prediction. It's a weapon to use to arrange my life. You heard me say it a number of times. I don't care where I came from or where I did not come from. But ever since I heard the word, I knew I would never be poor in life. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And let me tell you something. Let me just leave that one, but let me just say this. If you believe that word, and after a while, you don't see the flow. Do you understand my point? There are two reactions. You choose one. It's Jacob or Esau. There's one reaction that says, that word was not talking to me. I misunderstood it. It was glow crossing your line to MTN. That's one reaction. There's another reaction that understands that it is warfare. Do you get my point? And something is blocking the manifestation. And how do we fight it? It's called the fight of what? Faith. You patient, with patient endurance, you take hold of your salvation. What does that mean? Every morning I wake up, I declare it again. I'm not praying this, not praying, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, wait in a half hour. God, ah, you don't forget. No, surely not forget. Ah, no, God, don't try that. No, that kind of thing. No, you forget. Ah, no. It's not God, I beg. Leave this matter. Let me handle it. I don't know that you get my point. It's not as if you're handling without God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. What I'm saying is that you are not here shouting, God, this Red Sea, God said, listen, what is that in your hand? A rod. What do you do? Divide. He said, Lord, please excuse me. Let me divide this Red Sea. Let me divide this poverty. Let me divide this lack. Let me divide this lack of progress. Let me divide this infirmity. And he take that word. He said, listen, I don't care how I feel. I don't care the hunger in my stomach. But this is the prophetic word. He has given me the power to get wealth. He's making all grace abound towards me, that I, having all sufficiency in all things, I will abound to every good work. He makes prosperity flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That was what Jesus meant when he said, say it like this, thy will be done on earth as it is recorded, as it is written in heaven. That's the general principle of prophecy. We'll continue discussing next time. But I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Let me say my point again. I want to say my point again. Whatever you see in life, it is not well arranged. The way you believe God says it should be arranged, you rearrange it with the prophetic word. Not with struggles. Your efforts outside must be complementary to that which you have done inside. Don't go to work until you are sure you are blessed. I don't know whether you get what I said, though. Listen. You don't go apply for a job until you can walk into that place with confidence, feeling sorry for the man. That you, no, do you understand my point? If I don't work for this man, he will suffer. You do that at home. You win your victory inside first. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. So just begin to give him thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have given me the template with which to organize and arrange my life. Oh, where I'm coming from doesn't matter. Now I understand it. I rearrange and I organize and I direct my life. You understand? With the prophetic word. That's our prophet. They are not predictions. What I was trying to emphasize when I said is that, listen, if you don't do anything about it, you go unfulfilled. Next time I'll talk about Jonah. Jonah prophesied, it didn't happen. That's how it is. Prophecy, sometimes that's how they appear like. Because they have mitigating circumstances and mitigating factors. If you don't do what is required, it will not happen. Just give the Lord thanks.